Page 94. Listening Practice 1. Cycling Around the World. You are going to listen to a conversation about a cyclist. Listen and choose the correct answers.
Mike, hey. I've got a really great idea for our trip next summer. I just read about this Israeli guy, Roy Sedan, who has spent 4 years cycling around the world.
Cycling around the world? Why did he decide to do that?
Well, in the article I read, it said that he kept thinking about how to spend his gap year. Most young Israelis go on long backpacking trips to places like India or South America, but he wanted to do something different. So he decided to take his bike and see how far he could get by cycling. Actually, he didn't plan on going around the world. He thought he'd keep going until he felt he'd had enough. But the more he cycled, the more he wanted to keep going. So what was meant to be a year or two turned into 4 years travelling through America, Africa, Europe, Asia and Australia.
Have other cyclists done the same thing?
Of course, there are other cyclists who have travelled around the world. But what really impressed me is that he's cycled to 42 countries and covered over 40,000 miles.
Over 40,000 miles? Did he really travel all that way on a bike?
Roy claims that other than flying, when there was no other way, like crossing the ocean, he was on his bike.
How did he manage with food? He probably needed to eat huge amounts to give him energy for all that cycling.
Roy says everyone asks him about the food, and he says that it wasn't really a big deal. He found food to buy almost everywhere, and he kept a supply in his backpack. He explains that, just like in marathons, where runners have to eat a lot of carbohydrates, like rice, pasta, nuts, and bread, for energy before a race, he ate about 3 times the amount a normal person would eat a day. That's so that he could cycle between 25 and 100 miles a day.
That's incredible. But did he really cycle so many miles every day?
Well, it all depended on the weather and what the terrain was like. If he was in the mountains or on glaciers, he'd end up riding a shorter distance. Also, if he met interesting people and felt like staying a longer time in any place, then he stayed. It wasn't as if he was in a race or competition, so he didn't have to be on the move all the time.
Wasn't it dangerous?
Roy compares it to backpacking alone. He admitted that there were dangerous and frightening moments, like being confronted by bandits in Somalia, robbed at gunpoint in Mexico, and hit by a car in the United States. But he just kept going.
Well, he sounds like one tough guy. I'm sure he needed some tough bikes as well.
Actually, he only had one bike during the entire time, a steel-framed touring bike that he called Emunah, which means faith in Hebrew. It's a strong bike, but Roy insists that it's his faith in himself and life that let him fulfill his dream. So, Mike, think we can do it too?
Well, it sounds like great fun, Tom, but I think a bike trip around the world is a bit extreme. Maybe we could start with something easier, like a trip to the beach this weekend?
This weekend? I'd love to, but I'll have to take a rain check. I've got other plans.